If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 27. 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. Every time that I begin a new year, I ask the Lord to show me certain verses that will help me as I mature spiritually and as I grow and as I come to know the Lord more. And a verse that has been very important to me lately is 2 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse number 6. That will be our main text this morning, but we're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 9 verses. Now, I would ask that you would follow along as I read 2 Chronicles chapter 27, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this: Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign to be able to give us exactly what we need. And then, Lord, help us to be obedient to your will for our lives. Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified through everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we read the Bible, we find some amazing stories. A young boy, probably no more than 13 or 14, whose father says to him, David, I want you to go and take these cheeses and this bread and take them to your brothers. They're over there in the army. And when David arrives, he sees this giant, and this giant is speaking against the children of Israel and against specifically the God of Israel. And David says, who's going to fight against this giant? He says, is there not a cause? And the people of Israel look at him and they say, well, yeah, but he's a giant. He says, well, I'll go fight him. And then God uses this boy in an amazing way to kill this huge giant. We read of a man who had a problem with stuttering. His name was Moses. He couldn't speak freely. And God used Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. We read of this disciple who was absolutely defeated after he had betrayed the Lord. And he said, I have no idea who this is. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stands up and God uses him so that 3,000 people are baptized in a single day. And you would say, how is it that a human being could become so mighty? And it's only because God enables them. This morning I'd like to speak on the subject of becoming mighty. You and I are facing a new year. We're facing new challenges. We're facing new decisions. And I would encourage you to consider the fact that as we start off this year, we need to start well. We need to start with our eyes on the Lord. We need to start by doing those things that please Him. He is worthy. We need to make decisions that will enable us to become mighty in God's eyes. You see, the Bible indicates that each of these men were empowered by God to do what was impossible in their own human strength. And in our text, we read of another man who became mighty, and then we're told why he became mighty. See, that's what I love about 2 Chronicles 27:6. Listen to what it says. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord, his God. See, it doesn't just say Jotham became mighty and we're left to guess as to how that happened. No, we are told exactly why he became mighty. Now, this word, which means or is translated as became mighty, is the Hebrew word yitchazak. Yitchazak. It is used only 10 times in the Old Testament. Once it is translated as waxed mighty in our Bible. Twice it is translated as encouraged himself. And 6 times it is translated as strengthened himself. And so this word has to do with encouraging yourself and strengthening yourself. But it is translated here as became mighty. Why is it translated in almost this sort of a passive voice? Now, I'm going to get technical for the next 30 seconds, but please don't lose where we are. This is what is sometimes called a double causative verb. Okay, a double causative means that one person does one thing, which then causes another person to do something else back to the first person. Okay, please don't lose me here. The verb to pray is a double causative because I pray to God and then God causes something to happen in the life of someone else and maybe they give me the money that I need to take care of a problem that I have, or maybe they're able to have the wisdom to know how to deal with a sickness that I have. And so prayer is a double causative because I pray to God, he uses somebody else to meet my need. That's what's happening here. See, Jotham became mighty. It may not have been his original intention to become mighty. He maybe didn't set out and say, oh, I want to become mighty. How do I do this? No. What he did was he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. But because he did that, God then was able to do something that he wanted to do in Jotham's life by making him become mighty. God can make you become mighty when you begin to do what he has asked you to do. Could I say that the purpose of all of our lives is simply to know and do God's will? If we begin 2025 desiring to know God's will and then committing to doing God's will for this next year, there is no limit to what God can do through us. And so we must understand that if we desire to become mighty in our work and service for the Lord, we can do it if we go about it the same way that Jotham did. See, there's no limit. There's no limit to what God can do. And yet sometimes, if I can say this, it's because of our lack of faith. Do you remember in Mark chapter number 9, this father comes up to Christ and he says, Lord, if you can, would you please heal him? And then Jesus looks at the father and says, well, if you had faith. And the father suddenly realizes that it's not just Jesus' ability that's at stake here. It's my faith in God to do that great thing that needs to be challenged. What are some of the great things that happened to Jotham? Well, follow along with me in verse number 1. We read in our text that he became the king of Israel at the age of 25. Do we have anyone here about the age of 25? Maybe you're between the age of 23 and 28. Anyone in here? Okay, yeah, there's a few of you. Imagine if you became the president of the United States of America. Right up here we have Philip Dobbs. Okay, let's imagine he's about to become the president. January the 20th, he's going to be the president of the United States of America. Yay, go Brother Philip. All right, most of us in this room, okay, so like some of us, myself included, I'm twice his age, okay? I know that that surprises you, but I really am. I'm twice his age. And we would look at him and we would say, how can someone so young become the president? Well, here's a young man who became the king, and he became the king at age 25. He was the king for 16 years, and the Bible says about him in verse number 2, and he did that which was right in God's eyes. Wow. That means he ruled well for 16 years. Wow, can you imagine having someone in office for 16 years who does an absolutely great job of obeying God and doing his will? Can you imagine how that would affect our country? If we had someone for the next 16 years who led us in the paths of God, can you imagine what would become of the United States of America? Wow, we'd become the greatest nation on earth again. But here we find a man that not only did God bless in this way, we see that he beautified the entrance to the temple in verse number 3. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord. That's this most beautiful gate there at the temple. Not only that, it says that he built the wall of Ophel. He built it much. Now, Ophel was this wall that goes around the old city of Jerusalem, and it was to protect Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, if you'll look over later in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 1, you will find that the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, came against the southern kingdom and into Jerusalem, and they wanted to try to destroy Jerusalem, and they were unable. And the reason why is because that the wall of Ophel had been built up by the father of Ahaz, who's the king in Isaiah chapter 7 verse number 1, and his father is Jotham, this guy right here. See, he protected what God had given to him. Wow. Not only that, we find that he built cities in the mountains of Judah. He built castles and towers in the forest. He is defending what God has given to him. In verse number 5, he fought against a mighty king, and he defeated that mighty king. You may have an enemy that will come against you in 2025, but with God's help, you can defeat that enemy. Here we find in this passage, not only that, this king had to give him a payment. I want you to notice what this payment is. Now, the Bible says in verse number 5, it says that it was 100 talents of silver. Now, how much is a talent of silver? Well, I looked this up last night. It's about 110 pounds. 110 pounds of silver, and he received 100 talents of silver. If you multiply that out, that's about $3 million in U.S. dollars today. How many of you think you could do something with $3 million? Okay, if God just decided to drop that in your lap, here you go, here's $3 mil. Use it well, okay? Not only that, the Bible says that he received some grain, he received wheat, and he received barley. It was about $600,000 worth of wheat, $500,000 worth of barley. So he's got $4.1 million coming from just this one king that he defeated. That's amazing. So when the Bible says that Jotham became mighty, it's kind of a summary of everything that's going on here. This is amazing. Not only that, we see that God continues to bless this man. God delights in making his servants become mighty. And if we will make the same choices that Jotham made, God can make us mighty as well. So with that in mind, let's consider what it means to prepare our ways before the Lord our God. I'm going to come over here and grab this glass of water. Awesome. Number one, to become mighty, we need to find God's will. We need to find God's will. Notice that it says in verse number 6, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Now, how can you prepare your ways before the Lord your God? First of all, we will need to find God's will. We need to know what God's will is. I am convinced that Jotham took time to read and study God's word. I'm convinced that he took the time to find out what it is that God wanted him to do. It was not just a coincidence that he did that which was right in God's eyes. It was not a coincidence. That was intentional. He knew what God's will was. He knew what God wanted him to do, and so then he was able to do it. So what does it mean to find God's will? Well, preparation requires time to know what God wants us to do. You need to take time every day. I need to take time every day to read and study God's word. Now, you might say to me, well, Brother Billy, I'm a busy guy. I've got a lot going on. I don't know that I have time to sit down and read God's word as I should. Here we find a king. Would you agree with me that a king is a busy position? He had a lot going on. He had decisions that need to be made. I mean, they were coming to him all day long, asking him questions. Do you really think he had a whole lot of private time on his own to just enjoy sitting and reading God's word as he would wish? Oh no, he had to find the time to do it. Although he was a busy man, he took the time necessary to find out what God's word says. Now, not only that, we find that this happened during a time when most people had gone away from God. Go back, please, to verse number 2. Notice the last sentence of verse number 2. It says, and the people did yet corruptly. One of the things we find here is that although Jotham did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he lived in the midst of people who were doing everything else. They were living in utter wickedness. They had departed from the Lord their God. They were not serving the Lord their God. But Jotham became mighty. Why was he able to do this? Because first of all, he found God's will. Secondly, I would suggest to you that he submitted to God's will. Now, preparation before God means that every decision that I make needs to be viewed from God's perspective. All right? As I make decisions in life, I have to think about what does God want me to do. I ended 2024 in a tow truck. I don't know where the rest of you were, but as the sun set on 2024, I was riding in the front seat of a tow truck with my car on the back, going, oh, well, let's see what happens here. David, the very kind driver, and I had a nice talk. We were talking about Christmas, and I said, how was your Christmas? He said, well, he said, it really doesn't matter anymore. He said, now it's all about the kids. He said, I remember when I was a kid, I used to love Christmas. I'm like, really? He's like, oh, yeah. He said, nobody enjoys Christmas once you reach about 20 or 22. I said, oh. I said, I just had the best Christmas of my life. I had my kids. I had my granddaughter. We were all together. We had a great time. And he's like, well, tell me more. And I said, you know, I think really the key to it is because we know God. He said, how do you know God? He said, I used to go to church when I was a kid, but I don't know how that works. And so I started talking to him about the gospel, and he listened very intently. He said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I'm just not convinced. I'm not sure if Jesus Christ really died for me and rose again. I said, David, you have to make that decision by faith. See, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he said, okay, so let's imagine that I, by faith, make that decision. What's the next thing? And I was able to tell him what the next things were. When we finished, he said, sir, I thank you for talking with me. So not only did I finish the year in a tow truck, I finished the year in a tow truck giving the gospel to somebody that needed it. It was awesome. Okay, see, when I said I was in a tow truck at the end of 2024, some of you guys looked at me and said, I am so sorry for you, Brother Bill. What a wonderful joy to share the gospel with somebody. You see, submitting to God's will for a king who had absolute power, Jotham could have done anything he wanted to. Okay, when he got up in the morning, if he wanted to have hash browns and sausage and pancakes, okay? He wanted to have fried eggs and he wanted to have French toast and waffles with maple syrup flown in all the way from Canada. If he had wanted all of that and more, he could have had it because, folks, he's the king. He could do that. He could have anything he wanted to. He was the king. Nobody told him no. And yet he chose to submit to God's will. Wow. See, he decided God's plans were better than any plan he could come up with. Isn't that awesome? Because you and I, who do not have absolute power like this king did, Sometimes we want to put our will in front of God's will. We want to think we have a better plan than God does. But if we want to become mighty, we're going to have to recognize that our God in heaven has a plan that's way better than any plan that I could have, and we need to submit to God's will. Not only that, third, I would suggest to you that Jotham obeyed God's will. We have to make this decision to obey God's will. Preparation of our way before God means that we follow every detail of his will in our life. Now, there's something here in verse number 6 that I haven't pointed out, but I'd like for you to see this. It says, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. And then notice those last two words, his God. His God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Would you say that the God of the Bible is your God? Can you say he's my God? Oh, he's not just my parents' God. My mom is here with me this morning. It's not just my mom's God. It's not just the God of our family, but it's he's my God. He's my God. That's what Jotham had decided. See, this needs to become personal. And if it has not yet become personal with you, I would encourage you today to make this a personal decision of saying, I want you, Lord, to be my God. Make it personal. At the invitation, we're going to have a time where that you are invited to come and make decisions here at the front. And there will be some who will be up here praying. But if you have a desire to know God in a personal way, there will be people up front who would gladly show you from God's word how you can know for certain that you will spend eternity with God in heaven and that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So in order to obey God's will, we first have to know what it is. We have to find God's will. We have to submit to God's will. But we find that Jotham was obeying God's will. He was obeying God's commands. He was obeying everything that God had said. Now I'm going to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 17 for just a minute. Because in Deuteronomy 17, we find well before the first king of Israel ever came to the throne, that God spoke to the future kings, and he told them things that they should do. It says in verse number 14, Deuteronomy 17, 14, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are before that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now, many of the kings of Israel had not followed this. They multiplied wives. They tried to get as much gold and silver as they could. They were all about the trappings of royalty, not Jotham. It says in verse number 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy. That means to do it for himself. Write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and his children in the midst of Israel. We find here, in these verses, that there was a very simple plan that God had for kings. And that is that they were supposed to take the word of God, rewrite it out for themselves, and then carry it around with them all the time. You and I need to do the same thing. We need to keep God's word within a hand reach. I hope on your phone, Pastor Sides was talking about this morning. I hope you have a little app so that you can access the Bible easily. I have in my car some small Bibles. They're very nice, but they're very small. They fit in the glove compartment so that if I need a Bible, I can grab that Bible at any time. My wife and I believe that the Bible needs to be an important part of our life, and so we're trying to memorize Scripture together even right now. In our 50s, we're trying to memorize Scripture. It's not as easy as it used to be, okay? It's not. I promise, when I was 10, 11, oh boy, memorizing a verse, that was easy. But now, that's hard. You got to go back over it about 1,500 times just to get the first phrase. But it's important. It's important because as I keep God's word in my heart, I'm able to know what God wants. I'm able to obey his will, and he's able to bless me. Now, Jotham was recorded as doing what was right before God, not only here in 2 Chronicles, but also in 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 34. So let me make this personal. If God were to write a book today about me, would he say that Bill did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord? That's what my goal ought to be. Could God say about you, he, she did that which was right in the sight of the Lord? As we prepare our ways before God, instead of following the wicked ways of the people that are around us, God is able to bless us. God is able to make us mighty. Have you decided yet to prepare your ways before the Lord your God? When we think about those who have impacted our life, we're often reminded of people who have been huge spiritual blessings. This morning we heard the prayer request from Mrs. Barber concerning Dr. Barber, and how that our pastor, our former pastor, is going to go through some health things a week from tomorrow, some procedures at the hospital. I still remember when I met Dr. Barber, I was a little kid. I remember thinking he was old. The funny thing is I'm now older than he was then. But so many times in my life I've gone to Dr. Barber and just happened to mention to him certain things. I can't tell you how many times he said, Bill, hold on, come here. He'll put his arm around me. He'll say, let's pray. And he'll pray for me right then. Sometimes over there in that seat where he often sits. Sometimes out there in the lobby. I've gone off on trips to difficult places. A month from today, I'll be in a restricted access country. And to be honest with you, there are times where that humanly speaking, you can feel a little bit of fear. And then to know what Dr. Barber told me just a few days ago when I saw him, he said, Billy, I hope you know I pray for you every single day. He said, I pray for you and Marcy. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. How did Dr. Barber become such a mighty man? You know, I think he also decided to prepare his ways before the Lord his God. And you and I could also become mighty if we'll make that same decision. Heavenly Father, would you please impress upon our hearts the very reality that we could become mighty if only we would do that which is pleasing in your eyes. Would you help us, Lord, to make commitments to do that which is right in your eyes, to find your will, to submit to your will, and to obey your will. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. May the name of Jesus Christ be exalted. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed and no one's looking around. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I just want to say thanks to God for my salvation. I want to thank the Lord that he saved me And if something were to happen to me right now and I were to go out into eternity, I know beyond any doubt that I would spend the eternity with God in heaven. If that's true and that's your testimony, would you raise your hand as a testimony of your salvation? Amen. Wow, what a blessing to see those hands. Thank you. You may lower them. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Brother Bill, I don't know that I have that assurance. I'm not sure I would spend eternity with God in heaven. And you'd say, please pray for me. I want to have that assurance in my heart. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And you'd say, please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Amen. Thank you. Now, in just a moment, during the invitation, I'm going to encourage you to leave your place. Make your way up here to the front and find one of these that are seated on the front rows and tell them, I'd like to be saved. And they'll help you to know what God's Word says about salvation. How many here this morning would say, Brother Bill, I am committing before God to seek Him in all my ways. I want God to bless me in this upcoming year. Brother Bill, maybe 2024 was not a year of serving God as I should have, but I want this upcoming year to be devoted and committed to my Lord. And you'd say, please pray for me. That is my heart's desire. Would you raise your hand and let me pray for you as well? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All over the auditorium, thank you. Let's stand, please. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. And as the music begins, if God has spoken to your heart, would you leave your place? Make your way up here to the front. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation. Would you help us to make decisions today, Lord, that would be pleasing in your sight? Lord, I pray that you would bless those who still do not know you as their Savior, that they'd be saved. Help us, Lord, to obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.